VIP iPhone users group for May 8th, 2024. So we have been introducing all the finger gestures. So we did the first week, we did the single finger. Second week, we did the double. Then we did the triple. And there's one more finger gesture that we haven't done yet, and that is the four finger gestures. So I'm going to introduce that. I'm going to play a little audio clip. And here it goes.
Four finger gestures you can quickly move through your device. With four finger gestures, use these four finger gestures to move through your device more efficiently. Try these three gestures out tip. Keep your fingers separated about 1/2 inch apart so the device recognizes the gesture correctly. 1. Four finger single tap moves you to the first or the last item on the screen depending on where you tap on the screen. If you tap near the top of the screen, VoiceOver focuses on the first item on the screen. If you tap near the bottom of the screen, VoiceOver focuses on the last item of the screen. 2. Four finger left and right swipe allows you to quickly switch between your most recently opened apps. 3. Four finger double tap toggles in and out of help mode where you can practice all the gestures you learned.
Okay, I must admit that I do not use the four finger gestures very often, mainly because it is quite difficult for me to do that. And because of the limited space with the phone in portrait mode, I always have to kind of go turn it on landscape mode to get my fingers to, and then all four at the same time. That's a little challenging for me. Sometimes I can do it, sometimes I can't. So I don't do a lot of the four finger thing. Now, one thing I must admit is when I'm using the iPhone, 95% of my gestures are done with just a single finger, either a left, right, like up or down, double tap. 95%. People don't realize that that's all you need to really use the iPhone. I mean, yeah, you've got the magic tap, which is a two-finger thing. That's very handy. And there's some other things that you don't use all the time, but depending, it's all situational. So I'm going to open up the floor for any questions on the gestures or anything else you might have to say.
Cheryl, the other day I had to get some help from AppleSoft support. And anyway, the guy told me a gesture because I had, I don't know if it was messages or what, that had built up. And he was showing me how to get rid of them. And the only part I remember is the three-finger upper swipe. Can you talk about that a little bit so I can put that down?
Was he telling you to clear your apps? Is that what he was telling you to do?
Maybe. Clear my apps in terms of getting rid of Be My Eyes and Tap Tap See and all that kind of stuff. No, I don't think so. I think it was within, maybe, where I had used those. I'm just not real sure.
The three-finger swipe up generally, a single-finger swipe up takes you to the app switcher. The three-finger swipe up from the bottom of the screen will generally bring up your control panel.
Okay. Well, let's just forget that then. He said that was why my phone wasn't, it was getting stuck in some places. And he said that was why that I had too many built up. And so thinking back, I was thinking, well, there was too many messages that were piled up in there or maybe texts that I hadn't cleared out.
I don't know if about that because my iPhone is pretty cluttered. It pretty much stays that way. But what you might want to do is just sort of do the clear the cache thing, which is the volume up, volume down, and press and hold the power button until you hear it shut down, and it'll restart on its own.
Okay. Thanks.
She mentioned in that discussion that you played the little finger separation, the little space between your fingers. That is really important. Train yourself to do that because it makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's done so that the iPhone will recognize what gesture you're actually doing, whether it be three finger, two finger, or the four finger.
If you're needing to use a three finger and you feel like there's not enough space, can you do it using landscape or just to turn your phone that way or not?
Well, generally, just a three finger, you should have ample room on the phone to do that. I've never used the three finger on the landscape mode, just the four finger. And the only time I've done that is like if I needed. So for an example, Apple, when you download the update, Apple gives you all these pages. Hey, Jeff, welcome in. Apple gives you all these pages and pages and pages, and you have to go all the way to the bottom to get to the agree button. So that's where that four finger gesture comes into play. So you get as close to the bottom of the screen with the four fingers that you can and double tap there, and it takes you all the way down to that last element and to the agree button. So that comes in really handy.
That reminds me of something I notice a lot of times when you're, and I notice this a lot when I used to do the ordering. It'll say, 20% or 60%. And I take it that means that showing you 20% of what they've got. If you want 100%, you want them to show you everything, how do you change that percentage?
Well, if you want to start from the beginning, you would want to go to zero and then work from there, because 100% means that they've already displayed all the content that they have and there's no more left. So, I don't see that scroll button very often. Hey, Hank, welcome in. Glad you can make it. I don't see that scroll button very often where the content is like that. But when I do, I find it easier to flick up or down to get through. And so if you are at 20%, then you want to flick. Well, it'll tell you if it's going to move up or down, depending on how you flick.
Cheryl, back to that clear cache thing for a second. I just tried the power up and power down, and then you press the power button, right? Isn't that what you said? And I keep getting the power off button. I don't get an option to restart.
Now you want to do the volume up, volume down, and then press and hold the power button until it actually does go off.
Okay, so you actually hold it past where the power button shows up. Okay.
Yeah, that just resets your cache and reboots your phone and kind of makes it a little more peppy.
Well, when I did that the other day with that guy, apparently I held the key on the right-hand side too long. And he said, whoa, 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 you're calling an emergency. So don't ever hold it that long.
Well, if you press it five times, that calls it emergency. I don't know if pressing and holding will cause it to call emergency. I don't know.
Well, thinking back, I may have, my finger may have slipped off and I may have hit it again. I don't know. But he said, no, don't.
See, I want to think holding it does, because one time I held my watch too long and it called emergency. Now, I got that part turned off, though, but I don't know.
Yes, I experienced that same problem, Angela.
I know when I hold, press and hold mine, I get the Siri thing, but I'm going to do it right now and see what happens.
Well, I know of course, that's, he told me not to do that. He said, you don't ever need to do that. So I thought, well, I've had a whole lot of folks to tell me to do that.
Okay, I just did it. I hit the power up and power up, the volume up, volume down, and I pressed and held, don't release, hold it. And mine did the ding to shut down, and it just came back up. So that's how you do it. You're not pressing it several times. You're pressing it one time and holding it.
Yeah, when I did mine, I just tried it, and page up, page down, or yeah, volume up, volume down, and hold the power button. It said power off button, and I just hold it for about 10 seconds and let up. I didn't get any sound effects, though.
Hello, everybody. Sorry I'm late. I guess you guys are talking about a soft reboot. If you're having major issues, you can do that, but they recommend not to do that often. You're better off if you're having some issues, try turning off the phone, you know, the natural way and turning it back on. You can even tell Siri, restart my phone, and she'll ask you to make sure you want to restart this device. You say yes, and she'll shut down, come back up for you.
I've got a question about something. I've forgotten it on me.
That is neat that Siri will let you do that. So, because there's been times when I haven't been able to get any response from my phone because it's an electronic device. They get a little quirky. So I just tell Siri, shut down the phone. And then it asks me to verify that I want to do that. And then I hear bing. And it's awesome. I do recommend those power down and power up sounds, to turn them on, because it does help to have that audible feedback that your phone is indeed shutting down.
Yeah, I like that, because so many years we didn't have it.
So how do you get those?
You go into your settings under accessibility, under audio and touch, and it is one of the options. Power up and down sounds or something like that.
So when you turn the phone off, should it come on by itself or should you turn it on?
If you have Siri shut it down, then you push, you know, let it sit for a minute or so and then push the power. And then you should hear the bing and it'll come back up. But if you restart it using the volume up, volume down, and press and hold the power, it'll come back on its own.
Oh, keep forgetting. I turned sounds off. I'm keyed up. Yeah, but again, the power up, power down, you shouldn't do too often. That's just like pressing the power button on your computer or unplugging it. It does work, but again, you want to do that less. Just like you could tell Siri to shut down your phone, you could tell her to restart your phone, and she'll start. It'll shut down and turn back on its own. It's just a safer way of shutting it down.
I don't know. I was always told that was the way to clear the cache to reboot that. So that's like turning off your computer without going through the shutdown sequence?
I'm not sure about that. Then again, the cache, it's not like you do that every week. You want to do that every once in a while if your phone is getting slow and stuff. It's not like you know, if your phone's not getting slow, there's no need to get rid of the cache.
Yeah, that's about the only time I do it is when it starts acting really crazy, then it's like, oh, I got to fix it. Becky, did you think of your question yet?
Yeah, it's when you you want to use your fingerprint, you know, to get into your phone. Sometimes it'll work, and sometimes it doesn't. And I know you just have to keep sort of messing with getting that set, but I've just about given up on that and put in numbers. But I didn't know if there's some secret to using the fingerprint.
If you find out, let me know, because I tried the fingerprint one time, and about the fifth or sixth time, I would try to open my phone using the fingerprint, and it would go, try again, and try again, try again, try again. It's like, okay, frustration level reached. I'm going back to the, yeah, I used the code, and it's almost as quick.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is aggravating. I just wondered if I was the only one, but that's good to know.
Oh no. It could be that you've got some oil on your finger that you didn't have when you initially did the thing. It could be that there's something on the home button. It's a myriad of reasons that it does not work. So that's okay. I can do the code.
That's weird because I have Touch ID enabled for my Chase account, and also for, like, you know, if I want to get an app from the App Store, and it always works then. But yeah, it doesn't work for signing in, and it was supposed to. I was supposed to have it enabled for, you know, unlocking the phone, but it doesn't work anymore, so I don't know. It's weird that it works for other things, but not for doing that.
Well, when I had a phone that had the home button, I used that phone ID, Touch ID, all the time, and it worked perfectly. But they did recommend that you clean it with an alcohol wipe once in a while. Make sure it stays clean.
Well, something you can try, Becky?
Yeah, I haven't done that, so I'll give it a try.
And that was probably my problem, too, because my iPhone is shamefully never clean.
Yeah, those little things that you clean screens with, that's pretty much what you should use on your phone, right?
Yeah, those work great.
I tend to use a microfiber towel because they're non-abrasive for this stuff like that. It seems to work okay.
You know, the same ones that you get to clean your glasses, or clean glasses, will work just fine for the phone.
Well, what about dryer sheets? Because I've heard that that's good for cleaning your monitor screen and your TV screen.
Yeah, it'd be good because it's also anti-static.
Well, I wouldn't take a chance on that. We're not really sure what's in dryer sheets to dry your clothing. I think a microfiber cloth is absolutely safe, inexpensive, and it works.
I'm with you on that. I don't think I'd want to use a dryer sheet either.
Yeah, the way dryer sheets work is they put some fatty acid wax into your clothing, and that stops the clothing from rubbing on itself and creating static electricity, and keeps the electrons from going all negative on you.
Hey, I did not know that.
Yeah, that was my thought too. You wouldn't want that on your phone.
You know, a guy that came out to work on my washing machine one time told me, talking about the dryer, he said, we recommend you not use dryer sheets. And I thought, boy, I bet the dryer sheet people love y'all.
I actually stopped using dryer sheets years and years ago. I used these little dryer balls. They work really good.
I've heard that also, Becky, that you're not, they don't really recommend them for dryers.
I use them all the time. They get cat hair off, and they do. When you take them out, the clothes are not staticky. I like the things.
Are you talking about the dryer balls? I have looked at those on Amazon, and it seems to be they have some that are wool and some that are something else. And so which ones do you recommend?
I think the wool ones, because I think they last longer. I've tried the little plastic ones with the little bumpy things on them, and they tend to, over time, they'll crack and even break. So I tend to use the fabric ones.
Cheryl, is it possible to create a Siri shortcut to a specific location in an app? Like, for example, in the weather app, where you always want to go to the same place to see what the conditions are, you can create a Siri shortcut that just take you right there.
Well, I know that you can create a Siri shortcut for a component within, like, for example, seeing a eye. But that app is actually conducive to that shortcut. So I think the app has to have that built into it. I'm not positive about that.
Well, I kind of wondered about that also. I tried to create a shortcut to an app, and I could not get it to come up. I flicked this way, flicked that way, and flicked every way I could think of, and just could not find a shortcut for it.
Well, there's a way you can custom create a shortcut. We can look into that.
Where are you going next? That's in settings, I assume?
Yes. And there's also an app called Shortcuts. It might be in there.
Oh, I didn't know there was an app called Shortcuts. Is that something that you got to go get, or is it on your phone?
I believe it's on the phone, because I never downloaded it.
Oh, okay. I'll have to dig into that. Thank you.
Cheryl, I have a question when we can, please.
All right, go ahead.
I was wondering, I have tried, using my cell phone to, like, call in on a credit card, for instance, to pay a balance or something like that. And I'm wondering, okay, when you make your initial call in, then when you key in those account numbers, sometime it'll try to time out on you before you can get them all entered. My question is, can you use your keyboard, your Bluetooth keyboard, to do that initial part of things? It's just real tedious. I don't know how to do it.
There's two different ways you can do it. What I did actually one time was I created a contact called bank. And what it does is it dials the initial number, pauses, and then I select the option that I want, and then it pauses again. And then I guess one for English, and then it types in my account number and the PIN. And all I have to do is wait for it to say, "Hello, Cheryl A. Spencer." And then I can go from there and do the options that I want. But the keyboard that I have, I can actually type in the actual numbers, and it's a lot easier. So you might want to try it using your keyboard.
Another possibility, I have not tried this, so I'm just spitballing here, is you can create an alias, or on the iPhone they call it text replacement. Like, I used to have some set up, so you can say, like, if you say you're married or your family, every time you get out of work, you want to let them know, "I just got out of work on my way home." You can go in there and just type, set it so you just type JGW, like just got out of work. And it'll type that whole sentence with you typing three letters. So you might be able to put in, CN, and it'll type out, 5491, blah, 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 blah.
That's something also you can try.
So it's kind of like the newer version of what they used to call macros.
Exactly.
I've never set up macros. A lot of this stuff, I've never figured out how to set them up.
So when you go into, if you want to put in like a long number, it's like, for example, if you want to, not sure this is a good example, maybe a Zoom number. And there's a pause in there. So a comma is a pause when you type it in on your keyboard. So using a pause, a comma will pause it. And sometimes you have to make several calls and try to time it out to know how many commas to put in there. But once you get it in there, it's so worth the effort.
Well, this has nothing to do with swiping, but when you go into your, what do you call it? Anyway, it's when you put your two fingers apart and you're going to, what is it called? Forget it. I'll think of it.
You're talking about your rotor, correct?
Yes. Is there an easier way to do it? I can get maybe two, and then I'm having to turn my phone, and there must be an easier way than what I'm doing.
Okay, this is how I do it. I use it like a flick, two finger flick. So I'll put my fingers on the screen and I'll flick and it'll change. And then I'll take my fingers off and I'll put it back on, flick and it'll change. Flick, change. And so you're just constantly doing that.
But you're flicking your fingers which way? Both the same way? You didn't describe that. Everybody has their own different ways. I've heard one way of doing it is, like, say, if you do it two-handed, you could put your left thumb on the left side of the screen, just assuming you're righty or whatever. And then with the other hand, you can flick straight up and down. So the left hand, by not moving it, is your pivot point. And then the other one swipes up and down to kind of create the rotor action.
Does that work? Oh, what I meant to say, when I'm flicking, I'm kind of turning like the knob. I'm turning the knob. It's like a half a turn, just enough that it changes from characters to words. And depending on what I want, I can flick to the left or flick to the right.
I find that I can do the rotor action to the right fine, but I can't do it to the left for some reason. It just doesn't work. But of course, it cycles around eventually, but for some reason, I can't get it to rotate to the left.
Yeah, how I do it, I put my index finger about 10 o'clock and my thumb about 4. Just like I'm grabbing hold of the wire
Harry,
control.
Here is your reminder.
Oh, just a minute.
Take the garbage out.
I don't want to.
Take the garbage out, Terry.
Okay. So I put my index finger about 10, my thumb at 4, and then I'll turn it until I hear it switch, turn to the right usually. Then I bring it back and put my fingers at the same spot and just twist it to the right a little bit, just like you turn the volume control. And that seems to work really well. And you can do it in reverse too. You can put like 2 and 7 and then turn it back the other way. So just think of your turn of volume up and down.
It is actually easier with your thumb. I just tried it with my thumb, and I was able to do it both ways. I always did it with my index finger and my middle finger, but it's easier to do it with your thumb.
Yeah, with your thumb, it's much easier and it's more natural. Like he said, like turning a volume knob or opening and closing, turning a doorknob. Think of it that way. So you use your fingers and your wrist to twist. And like you're opening, volume knob, doorknob, top of a milk bottle or, soda bottle.
I think using the thumb, remember when texting first came out and all these teenagers were like, they were using their thumbs to do all that. The thumbs are more articulate. They can move a little quicker. You have more control over your thumb. So I always recommend if you can use your thumb to navigate the phone, I think you'll have a much easier and less frustrating experience because you can focus your thumb in areas a lot easier than you can an index finger.
See, what I typically do is I take my index finger and my middle finger, and I stick them vertically right straight down on the face of the thing like they were standing on it. And then I rotate them either left or right, and that works really well for me.
Yeah, you do whatever works. You know, different things for different people. So but that's the way I've always done it. The volume control knob always seemed to do pretty good.
Yeah, whatever works is the way you should do it.
I just wanted to mention something real quick that I discovered a couple of days ago. I've already mentioned to some of you, but I was in beating my eyes the other day and accidentally took a picture. That's a lot easier. It's apparently it was one of the updates I didn't know about. Maybe some of you already know. But instead of getting on take picture and double tapping it on the screen, you can use your volume up or volume down. Both of them work for taking the picture. Just hit it and there you go.
Yeah, Jeff mentioned that earlier and we tried it and I guess the update hasn't hit my phone yet because it didn't work on mine.
Oh, wow. So is that in the actual iOS version or is it in the update for the Be My Eyes app? Because I've got a 2020 SE and I'm wondering if my phone's too old to encompass. But you have a 2020, don't you, Jeff?
No, your 2020 should be fine. Your upgradable to 17 is still supported, so you should be okay. But I think it's totally the app being updated. And just like all updates, not everybody gets the app at the same time.
Yeah, I know. Anybody that has trouble with their hands, you know, it'd probably really be a benefit to them. Of course, it's a benefit to everybody. I wish they would. They used to have it in the camera when you took a regular snapshot. It used to work that way. Then they took it away. I wish they'd put it back.
Yeah, I found this out by mistake because I would take a picture. And then I would move my hand to where it was over that one of the volume buttons, and all of a sudden my picture was gone before it could be analyzed, as they say. So I found that out. But and I have a 2020 also.
I missed it. I think it was Terry who said to use the volume button, take a picture would be my AI. What phone do you have? That's the part I missed. I'm wondering if that's newer phones, although I think, Cheryl, you have a newer phone. I tried it with my iPhone 8, and it didn't work on there either. And I just checked for updates, and there's no new updates.
I got 13 Pro Max.
I got the 15 Pro Max, and it took some getting used to, but I like it okay.
I think it would be a nice feature to have the volume button take the picture. We were talking about this earlier, because when you double tap the screen on take a picture, you're actually kind of shaking the phone, and sometimes you get blurry. Because I get results like that. I'm trying to get like the directions off a box of something I want to cook, and it says, take another picture. It's kind of blurry.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like about it, because you can't hardly hold your phone still when you double tap the screen.
Only work around that, I think, is double tap lightly. You know, you don't have to bang the phone to do it. But I guess it takes practice a little bit. But I kind of like the volume thing if I can get it to work at some point.
Yep, mine hasn't updated yet, so it's not working. Unless I have to go to 17 in order for it to work, and I was like, don't know about that.
It's working on my 2020.
Ah, okay. You're not on 17 either, Cheryl. The ones that it is working, are you on iOS 17 or are you still on 16?
That was Becky, I think, that you're talking to.
Oh, no, I'm on 17.
Okay, I just tried it on my 2020 and it works. I was able to press the volume down button and it snapped the camera.
Yeah, you got it then. Yeah, I tell you, I don't know what it is, 17 or my phone or what, but my phone hasn't worked right in probably the last 4 updates. So I tell it to read a message and it'll cut off in the middle of the message and then it'll say error and it starts reading it and they might read it over again. And used to say, do you want to reply? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It's all screwy. I called Apple Accessibility here the other day and they had me reset up my Hey Siri. And of course that didn't help. I had already tried that and I've actually shut it off. 3:38
p.m. So.
Well, I'm wondering if 17 has something to do with the update. I mean, the Be My AI. I wouldn't think so, but I don't really want to update with all those bugs hanging around. But everybody seems to be doing all right with it other than those quirky things.
Well, last night I mentioned it in a room, and anyway, I got part of it. I know I'm old. It takes a long time. But I want to be able to use my phone anywhere. For example, Sunday, I wanted to take some pictures with Be My Eyes. And anyway, I don't know if it said I didn't have any connection or what, and that has happened other places. So what do I need to do set on my camera so that it works anywhere I go except just at my desk?
Well, I think you said you had your data turned off. You need to go into settings and turn your data on so that because what it does, it sends out to the server and gets the description and it sends it back to your phone, and you have no internet connection unless you're connected to Wi-Fi, then it would do it through Wi-Fi. But other than that, you don't have any internet connection, so you want to make sure you turn that on.
That's exactly right.
So, do you have your data on all the time on your phone?
Mine is on all the time because I have unlimited.
My dad is on all the time. But you know, when you're home, if you have your Wi-Fi, it automatically switches to your Wi-Fi and uses that anyway, so you're not using your data when you're at home. So I never worry about it. But, well, I do have unlimited as well.
I don't have unlimited, but I'm usually around Wi-Fi. So like he said, it doesn't use your data if you're on Wi-Fi. Mine is on all the time, but what you can do is in settings, go into cellular and you could tell it not to use certain apps. You know, turn a cellular off for a lot of apps that you don't want it using Wi-Fi.
Well, I don't use mine a lot anyway, when I go out, but I really wanted pictures of the flowers and that sort of thing. And my son, he was just clicking, click, 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 you know. So I just need to turn on my data, right? I'm on my daughter's plan and she says we have unlimited data.
I leave my data on all the time. And, you know, if it's got Wi-Fi available, it always uses the Wi-Fi first. So I never have a problem.
Oh yeah, Susie, turn on your data. And if you've got unlimited, that's not a worry. This way it'll work wherever you are. It's no problem. So that'll solve your problem.
Some people do turn cellular off if you're home with Wi-Fi to save the battery. If the battery's not an issue, you could leave it on. The other way to do it, if you know how to get to the control center at the, you know, where your Wi-Fi and stuff, you could just go in there and say you want to take a picture. You go to control center, turn cellular on, take your pictures, and turn it back off. If, you know, that's a worry or for battery. That's a quick way of just toggling it on and off.
Yeah, I got a quick question. I think I know the answer, but when you take a picture and give my eyes, does it actually take a picture and save it in your photos? I've never really checked. I don't use my pictures at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask that same thing. I didn't realize it would save any pictures that you took with Be My Eyes.
It doesn't really save the picture unless you go to share it, and then it puts it on their server. It doesn't go into your camera roll. That's about the only problem I have with Be My AI. If they would let you share it to your photo album along with the description, I'd be a happy camper. But as of yet, as far as I know, no. They put it on their server.
Okay. Well, my phone was talking when you were saying, how do you save? I don't want to save the picture. I just want to save the description. And I had looked for that the other day, and what's the wording that tells you how to save it?
Okay, when you take a picture and you're reading the description, this is a Hank gesture. He taught me how to do this. Do a single finger triple tap, 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 and it'll bring up some options. Flick to the right, and one of the options is copy description. You want to double tap on that. And then once it's copied, you can go into your notes app on your phone, open up a new note, and then do the rotor to edit, flick up to paste, and double tap.
All right, I got everything to the last two. I've opened Go to Notes, Go to Note app, open New Note, and then there's two things. What is it?
You want to rotor to what's called Edit, and that brings up you flick up. Once you hear that Edit, flick up with one finger till you hear Paste, and then you want to double tap on Paste. So basically, you're copying and pasting. You're copying the description from Be My Eyes. You're opening up Notes, and you're pasting it in there.
Boy, it sure would be easier if they just give you the option to say Save Description.
Yeah, they don't make it easy all the time. matter of fact, I was playing around with that yesterday. I took a picture of my stepson. He got a new T-shirt, so I took a picture of it. And so I said, I'll send him the description and show him what we get. So I did the copied description, and then I went to messages and went to his name and went to the text area, and I flipped where it says paste and pasted it in, sent it, and he got it. It worked pretty cool.
Well, I've got a reception to go to, and I want some cute pictures of my little nieces and nephews in their get up.
Well, that'll work. Yeah, that's another good use for that copy description, Terry.
I was thinking, I don't really mess with photos at all, but I know you can label a photo, go into, like, if it's in your in your photos album, you can rename it and say whatever put a description on it. The thing is, again, they don't make it easy. Take a picture with your camera app, share it with Be My Eyes. If you like the description, copy that description, go back into your photo album, and I forget how to four-finger double tap or squeeze. I forget. There's a gesture to relabel that picture and then paste it in there. Would that work?
Yeah. That is a lot. That is a very multi-step process. I haven't labeled a picture in a while. So, and they're always changing it. If they would just leave things alone instead of changing stuff, and you have to relearn it all over again.
That's the one thing about the iPhone. That is, it's constant. That's constant. You get used to it, and then you have to change it.
Yeah, you open an app and all of a sudden it looks different. It's like, okay, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Now you have to learn the lay of the land again. I just downloaded an app called Tape It, which is a voice recorder. It's supposed to be higher quality and you can record in stereo, and it utilizes, I didn't realize the iPhone had more than one mic. So I'm looking forward to experimenting with that.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'll have to check it out. And even on my phone, because I have an older phone, they don't normally record in stereo. iPhones. For a phone that's supposed to be easy to use, there's a lot of steps in some of the things you do on there.
Yeah, I know. I found out about the microphones in TeamTalk and the TeamTalk app. You have a whole, two or three different microphones you can use. I was really surprised when I saw that.
Well, where are the microphones located and how can you select them?
I don't know if you could select them. I think there's three. There's one at the bottom near the lightning port, which is the main one when you're on a phone call. I believe there's one up near the earpiece where if you're talking with the phone up to your head, it's where the earpiece is. There's one up there, I think. So if you're on, and then there's one on the back where the lenses are. I think that's how they're set up.
Yeah, it's in your phone. You go to TeamTalk and go to your audio settings. I can't remember exactly which spot you go to, but your microphone settings are right in there for TeamTalk.
On the iPhone?
Not on the channel.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is it possible to change your passcode in
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you up. Change your passcode where?
In Apple.
I believe you can. I have not done it, but I believe you should be able to.
I'm pretty sure you can. You're talking about the numeric one, right? Not the password. But the numeric one, I think it is called passcode in the phone. You'll have to put the old one first to change it. But yeah, you should be able to change it anytime you want.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, when you're using apps on your iPhone, when you finish with one, do you need to close it? And if you do, how do you close it?
Well, you just, anytime you close an app, you just press the home button or the equivalent of flicking up from the bottom of the screen to get out of that app. So you're basically in the hallway between other apps. Or, you know, once you close it, you can go to another app that's on your screen. So that's pretty much how you close an app.
Okay, well, I do it with a home key. So I was just hoping that really was closing it instead of just letting me jump from one to the other.
The way I understand it, most apps you can leave open. They go kind of just go dormant when you go to the home screen. But ones like, say, Facebook, GPS, that use a lot of data, I tend to close those. And with the home key, you double pump the home key and it brings you to the app switcher. Then go to the app you want to close and flick up on it. You can either do a three-finger swipe up or flick up till you hear close and double tap on it. At least that's my feel. They say you're really not supposed to close apps because it takes more battery and more strain on the phone when you constantly close them and constantly close them, but I don't know about that. So like messages, settings, app store, stuff like that, I just leave open. Even Dice World, I never close those. But Facebook and Maps, I always close those.
A discussion for another time, I'm sure. But I think closing the apps is the more economical way to go. Keeping apps open have got to be using power. That's how memory works.
But what it does is once you get once you close it out, but not really close it with the app switcher, the app actually just goes to sleep. It's like Hank said, it's dormant. It's not doing anything. So it's not really active, even though it is active, but it's not really.
However, some memory is used to maintain that app open, and it's the memory usage that's open. It takes power, takes 2 volts. It depends on the amperage, but memory, that's how memory works.
I got to tell you this before I forget it, Cheryl. In your preference in Team Talk, go over to where all your sound settings are and set up sound devices is what you want. Go in there, and then it'll show your different microphones.
Oh, great. Thanks. I will definitely do that.
Devices. Button. Let me see what it says here.
100. Set up sound devices. Choose input and output devices.
Button. Set input and out devices. Sound devices. Yeah. So there you go. You go in there and then you find it.
I'll have to play around with that.
I always close my apps too. I think it mentally makes me feel like, you know, I'm just using one thing at a time. I would forget what I had open. It seems like to me, it would, like Jeff said, it's still got to take something to keep it open.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right about that, Jeff. I'm notoriously bad about apps on my iPhone and apps on my computer. I used to have a friend, Bruce, who used to yell at me all the time, close those windows, you're going to get flies.
Don't let the bees in, you might get stuck.
All right, any other questions?
Cheryl, this has been so helpful. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, I second that. Thank you so much for doing it. And you, Hank, for your knowledge as well.
Oh, Hank is a great asset to the group. So this is what we're here for, to bounce ideas, to help each other figure things out. And I do appreciate your participation and your attendance. We will do this 2 weeks from today for sure. Same bat channel, same bat time. So that's with that, I just want to thank everybody for coming. And it was a good session. So we'll see you in 2 weeks.